Good morning. Welcome to the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast. This is MT Clark, and this little Zoom meeting is more than a Zoom meeting. It's a Bible study, and it's a little program we call Bible Study with the Sincottis, as we're joined by Arthur and Susanna Sincotti, and my wife Tammy Lynn Clark is along for the ride too. Arthur has sent me the study for today. And he's, he's a wordsmith of sorts. So he thought he'd do a study called The Poetry of God, based on Psalms 19, 1 through 6. And we're going to kick that study off. But before we do, we'll say good morning. And so good morning, Arthur and Susanna.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone who might be watching or listening.
Such a joy to be here. It really genuinely is. Let's open in prayer. Mm-hmm. And invite the presence of God. We're open the eyes of our hearts this morning to the presence of God. Lord, indeed, we are mindful that you are at the helm, orchestrating all things, and not just here in our little corner of the universe, but all throughout creation. Lord, what a majestic, high, lifted up God you genuinely are, and we pray for that you turn your face towards us this morning and lead us in paths of righteousness. Mm-hmm. That you might be glorified in all that we do, certainly as we seek to rightly divide your word of truth. Lord God, we need your help very much so with this. And we ask humbly that you would enter in with us, that we would be in a line with your perfect plan and will for mankind today, as we send notions and thoughts and reflections about your word out into the world, into space and time. We proclaim your word today, and we're grateful for it, that you have preserved it over the ages, and we ask for your blessing over this time together. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if you got, it's funny because I always pray in the mighty name of Jesus too, and because it is a mighty name. But I noticed basically as I've led the growth group I have, I had an opportunity to sit down with one of the guys and lead them through prayers or whatever, and I would say just say in Jesus' name and amen, sort of lead them and say, okay, say this prayer, and then I go in Jesus' name, amen. But every time he got to that part, he said in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I'm like, it's like I'm pretty sure he caught that from me,
Contagious. Huh?
Well, that's good. Anytime the student imitates the teacher, that's a good thing. Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Right. Sure.
Our coach Tom Griffith with Greater Formations has carved us, changed us, instructed us to pray in the authority of Jesus, which is not inappropriate. And when we invoke the name, we're invoking the authority.
Right.
It's like a foreign ambassador saying, right, going to a country and saying, I represent the United States of America, and you can speak on behalf of that person or that nation entity. And it's the like Susanna used the traffic cop, the traffic cop with the hand last week. So that authority thing, high church people, Catholics, Orthodox, are going to pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
It's a good idea. It works. All of the above work.
Well, go ahead. Let them do it. Right. Yeah. It's... I've heard some Protestant teaching, and I'm not here to come against anything. Mm-hmm. Saying the name of the Father is not really the name of the Father. Mm-hmm. It's just say that's the Father is a pronoun, and the Holy Spirit is a descriptive adverb. You know, okay. So we don't know what the name of the Holy Spirit is. So these are technicalities that, you know, in the foxhole, you just cry out to whoever's listening.
Well, you know, as
simple prayer is, help me, Jesus.
I think it's Peter who wrote, you know, basically that at that name, every knee shall bow, and that name is Jesus.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so
yes.
Pray in the name of Jesus. You pray to the God the Father. You pray in the name of Jesus, and you certainly can pray to the Holy Spirit too. You know, so
Absolutely.
Something to keep talking to God, I think, is the important thing. And some people get ultra, you know, well, it's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. You know, we have to get Hebraic, you know, pronunciation of Jesus was, you know, Yeshua. And the good thing is God hears us, no matter what we say, when we direct our hearts and minds towards Him. So, yeah.
Yeah, there are some words that are just universal across the world. And we had a friend who went to Nepal. She was a teacher for YWAM.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it. She taught a week's class up in Nepal, Kathmandu. And she sent us a tape or a video of them doing a worship song.
Mm-hmm.
And they're singing, of course, in their language. And I'm just like, oh, that's really cool. And then they get to hallelujah, hallelujah. And I was like, wow. You know, I've heard that hallelujah is universal across whatever language you are in, whatever country you're in. Hallelujah is just hallelujah.
Mm. That's right.
And I just thought that was so sweet to see these.
Might
these
be spelled differently.
With their funny letters or whatever, but the pronunciation is still the same. And I thought that was really, you know, a beautiful piece of God that He holds on to, that we can go all across the world and just say hallelujah, and people, oh, I know that.
Like, yeah, oh yeah, hallelujah.
I know that praise.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We are back.
Okay, sweetheart. Today's study is about or from Psalm 19, which I genuinely love. The color and the language of it. Truth be told, I did this in the prison about 3 weeks ago. I was so struck by it myself. And the guys really received it that night. There was a lot of richness drawn out of that. So this is more in depth, building upon that study. And so I'm anxious to look at, I was ambitious to do the whole psalm and then because it is a short psalm, but I had to put the brakes on, you know, after page one, and it was 10:30 and I was pretty wounded. So there's a lot of reasoning behind it all, but I used as an opening verse from Second Samuel 23:1, where it says, "The anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." And this is speaking of David. Mm-hmm. David is the psalmist in this case with Psalm 19. And I wrote here that the above verse is speaking of David and comes under the title of David's last words.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful how the scripture engages different types or sorts of language in order to convey the truth of God's word to us, you know, in multiple different languages, right? We're familiar with the descriptive language of the history books, how it's, you know, nobody just sits down for their own pleasure and reads a history book, right? It's usually,
yeah.
Pastor Chris used to say that John MacArthur, on his vacation, he reads commentaries. Mm. So that's great.
Right.
If it's something that you enjoy, then read it. I mean, I am one who enjoys reading, you know, historical fiction and historical fact books that are based on things. One of my favorite books is the letters between John and Abigail Adams.
Mm-hmm.
during the Revolutionary War times,
Yeah,
and just
those are
reading, you
beautiful.
know, their strength in the Lord and how they made it through because of their faith. And then, but I just like history.
Yeah.
I will read a historical book and enjoy it. And
I guess I'm thinking more
so
in terms of
a textbook
history
thing.
textbooks, that as opposed, I love to read biographies,
Right.
and more of a historic nature than contemporary biographies. But there's the clinical language of the books of the law. You know, how, again, few people sit down and read Leviticus just
unless
for the
can't
fun of
sleep.
Unless you can't sleep. You know, the technical language of how the what
cure for insomnia
sacrifice.
is reading Leviticus.
Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Yeah, those will do it for you right there. And the legal language of some of the epistles, you know, how much legal language, we are justified by faith, and things of that sort. Jesus uses types of languages in the Gospels, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. He uses hyperbole to make a point. He actually engages parables a lot. There's a place where it says, I think in Matthew's gospel, where he always spoke to the people in a parable, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. But yet in with his disciples, he used clarity. He used more emphatic or distinct languages without parables. He uses simile quite a bit to try to draw out more understanding. We often see in the scripture how we know that it was an agricultural society. And so Jesus is using agricultural language, like the sower, the parable of the sower, or the wheat and the tares, and things of that sort. So last week's study, we studied the names of God, which are expressive of his character, right? And it's not, however, that we should have information about God. That's not the intent, you know, of either last week's study or any week's study, but that we should know him intimately and love him because he first loved us. So knowing all the names of God, just it might get you an A on the test, or you know, a seat at the table this Thanksgiving, right? To be able to say, I know all the names of God. You know, I'll give the prayer this year. That's not the point.
That's the thing that really came out last week, is just the aspect of how we operate as humans, how God made us. Because it's valuable information. I mean, like you said, you'll get an A on the test if you know the names of God and what they mean. It's good information to have intellectually, but as we talked about last week, it helps us to relate to God. And that really looks at the two aspects of our brain. Our left side does all the informational processing, so we got that on the left side, you know, basically, okay, we got all this Bible knowledge there, but knowing it helps us to relate to our Heavenly Father personally, and that's the right side of the brain, basically, where we're, you know, our relational aspects, our bonding to the Lord happens, and the Lord uses everything, you know, to draw us closer to him. And so if we get just are focusing on one aspect of it, without saying, this is my Heavenly Father that we're talking about here, who loves me, who saved me, you know, that's what draws us into his presence and into his kingdom purposes, is when we're fully equipped with the knowledge and the power of his love, you know, basically through the, you know, the way it works together.
I like that. Yes, God is really good about that kind of thing.
I agree. That's so
makes me
well
think
said.
Of a jigsaw puzzle. You know,
yeah.
Maybe you don't even have the top of the book of the box to see what the picture is going to be. You just have a bunch of jigsaw pieces, and you got to try and figure out and put it together. And as it comes together, you start seeing what the image could possibly be.
Mm.
So, that's God. He's like that.
Yeah, so to accomplish this, he often uses poetic language in the scriptures in order to grip our hearts. We know that the 18 inches or so, or whatever it is between our head and our heart, is highly significant to in God's economy and in the way that He relates to us. So Psalm 19 is a psalm of David, as I said, an excellent a poetic example of how it speaks of creation, the law, and our relationship with God. And I was thinking of David, and in this regard, I think it warrants another study altogether. But David was really a kind of Renaissance man, well before his time. He was, he's the acclaimed king of Israel in during an era of great prosperity and strength, and the nation really became came to life in a sense under David's leadership. But he was many other things. There's many strings to his bow. He was a musician. He was a writer of many psalms. I think something like a third of the Book of Psalms. He was a warrior. He was a great administrator as well. We see as we see his life unfold and how he navigates kingship, so to speak, kinging in First and Second Samuel, that he actually becomes pretty good at it. So there's a lot of strings to David's bow, and this psalm unites two ways in which God has revealed himself to us, by general revelation in his creation and by special revelation in his word. And as I said, I was going to be ambitious and I thought we'd get to the whole psalm and get into the word portion, but we're going to stick with general revelation today. And general revelation is powerful. It, general revelation is big. It's something obviously like as God himself, the nature of God himself, or the presence of God himself, something that we take for granted a lot until we come crashing into a beautiful sunset, right? Or until we just crave after that peak weekend in the fall. You know, is it peak yet? I think we're about to reach peak, right? It's the crescendo, right, in the symphony. This is it, boy. It's coming, and we just can't wait to drink in those saturated reds and those bright yellows during the golden hour, right? At about 6 o'clock or five, it's more like 5:30 now, when the sun is low and those trees look like they're luminescent somehow. And Psalm 19 speaks to that. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork." So, as I've expressed, you only need to drink in creation with the senses, to come to a reasonable conclusion that a master designer has accomplished all this. It's so just commonsensically contrary to the secular humanist or the evolutionist or the Big Bang, any of the above worldview. I love the analogy of that, as if to say that all this just happened somehow is like saying that there was an explosion in a junkyard and a 747 appeared out of it,
As my jailhouse apologetic used to be, the first evidence for God is creation. Where did all this come from? And the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and that he draws us in. I've been listening to a lot of spiritual formation stuff lately, and one of the aspects they touch on is beauty and how appreciation of the things that are beautiful in the world basically can draw us closer into the presence of the Lord, and
Yeah.
so if you see
We
that
did a study on
quote.
beauty years ago, many years ago, and I think I'd like to revisit that subject.
Well, I know that you and Tammy Lynn like to go on hikes and
Yeah.
rides and drives and things like that, and she posted some things on Facebook that
Praise God
the
for
pictures
Facebook.
that you take are so wonderful to see the
Yeah.
beauty of God,
Yeah, we go out
the
and walk
nature.
about, and it draws us closer to the Lord, and it draws us closer together. We went out to the hills, High Falls Gorge, and near Whiteface Mountain last yesterday, and then
Well,
yesterday afternoon we took a walk down Waite Road to where I usually take the dog, but I invited Tammy Lynn to come along, and her daughter Elizabeth came with us, and we walked
oh,
down that gravel road that goes to a dead end cornfield. And Elizabeth considers herself somewhat of a photographer, and so she was taking photos, and we were
good.
just really enjoying each other's company. And Elizabeth was telling us to get out of the way since she could take shots.
You're in the
And
picture.
so I put my arm around Tammy Lynn, and next thing we were the subjects of Elizabeth's photo shoot.
Oh, beautiful.
Is
Sweet.
and it was all and as we were walking, I was just sort of pointing out that I love coming out there and talking to the Lord, and just with me and the dog and whatnot, and I was glad to have him along,
Oh, sure.
so
Sure.
yeah,
Why is
and so
God?
again, the glory of the heavens draws closer to God, and it can draw us closer to one another as we share it, because really that's
Sharing it.
the great thing about nature,
Right.
is that we get to share that with the Lord, but when we do it with someone else, we get to share the experience with them, so
Right. That
yeah.
vertical and horizontal
Yeah.
kind of thing, the shape
Yeah.
of the cross, that we have the vertical where we can talk and commune with God, but we have the horizontal where we're supposed to be communing with each other and we're supposed to be having relationship with each other. And I think that's one of the things that the psalm points out,
Yeah, what
that
compels us to want to express this, to one another, or want to try to figure it out? You go out into a cornfield or into the woods or on a starry night, and something inside of us just wants to grab a canvas and start painting, or grab a
camera.
camera and start photographing, or grab a pad of paper and start writing, and coming up with some sort of language, a deep language, not just oh, I counted the stars last night, and I got bored after an hour and a half, or I just couldn't, we want to find some rich language that really, really, really
Right,
genuinely
and
expresses that stirring in us is.
reporting that you looked at the heavens and you counted 6,414 stars doesn't exactly express
Yeah.
the
Right.
majesty of the Creator.
I think I might have missed one.
Where verse 1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the
Yeah.
firmament shows his handiwork.
Yeah.
And that's the language we're looking for.
And as I read that, I was drawn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which is a familiar verse, which says, "For we are his handiwork."
Our
You
work
know,
nation.
we're gawking at the heavens, God is gawking at us. Isn't that amazing? We are the focal point of his attention. Our picture is on his giant refrigerator in heaven somewhere. And that's the personal nature of his love. We are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that a marvelous truth?
Yeah, and we're
We
his
remember
too. It's
everything.
not just the glory of the heavens. It's
Yeah.
we're his, as Christopher Hall, author of A Different Way, writes that we're God's precious image bearers, and
Yes, I like that.
we're
Yeah.
his workmanship. We declare the glory of the Lord. When we do beautiful things and love one another, that's when we get the image. We're reflecting the image correctly.
Yeah.
We bear his image.
Imagine this came to me as we're talking, God's self-portrait.
We're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
When the light's right. When the light is right.
Well, the light is, that's good. That's
otherwise, the darkness
point.
Sort of drags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Messes the whole thing.
Some people's self-portraits, some artists' self-portraits are flattering, overly flattering, right? Or some artists' self-portraits are overly grotesque or something.
Yeah.
When the light is right, mm-hmm. we're God's self-portrait. The second
right.
verse says, day unto day utter speech and night unto night reveals knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the poetic use the technique of personification here to give a voice to inanimate objects. Mm-hmm. Here we have day and night speaking. And they're not just speaking anything; they're speaking knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Da'at is the Hebrew, and I want to flip to a commentary in my Jack Hayford Bible on the word knowledge. Da'at. It says knowledge, knowing, understanding, intelligence, wisdom, discernment, skill, and comes from the verb yada, to know. Occurring more than 90 times. Its first mention is in Genesis 2, 1, describing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Boy, we like to camp on that under that tree, don't we? It's a popular subject
it's
here.
2-9.
Oh, 2-9. What did I say?
1.
Oh, okay. 2-9, describing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hosea 4:6 states that the lack of knowledge destroys God's people.
Mm.
And in Exodus 31:3, da'at refers to craftsmanship and artistic abilities. Mm. Oh, we just lit upon that subject, the building of the temple. God gave Beziel knowledge to design artistic works. Isaiah 53:11, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many.
Mm-hmm.
It can be taken to mean that knowledge of him, capital H, that is knowledge of him justifies them, or that he uses his knowledge and skill to obtain the justification. That is, he, by his priestly intercession, knows how to justify believers. So,
yeah, and Bezalel was, as the word reveals, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and God creates us with these innate abilities, and so really, the creative work that we do, you can say, well, I've always been artistic. Well, where'd you get that from? If you're not so prideful, you'll realize that the Lord has given you everything, and so the talents you have are there. But in Bezalel's case, they even tell you, "Oh yeah, no, the Holy Spirit. We put this in him originally, and then we really kicked it up a notch by hitting him with the Holy Spirit to do the Lord's creative work." He's been able to build nice things before, but now this, his talents that we put in him. And our purpose for the kingdom came together to create the temple, tabernacle, and that stuff.
And it makes you think of wonderful things like, we've often said, I love the Handel's Messiah, mm-hmm. the whole thing, not just a small portion that we sing at Christmas time, but the whole thing is wonderful.
It is.
But he wrote that very quickly. He did not, it was not something that
21 days.
He just, did over years and did this and did that. But God, he said it was like God just infused him. They thought at one point, didn't they think he was dead or something because he wouldn't come out of the room? He was just writing so furiously, just putting it down, putting it down, putting it down. And that's God. I mean, he had a talent. Handel had a talent to write music and to play music and to understand music. But God infused him with this huge piece of work. That has lasted, much like the Bible, has lasted over many, many decades.
Mm.
And we still sing it today to the glory of God.
Amen.
To his glory.
And this, I think, is what God, what Mark expressed is, when we get the light is right. Anybody can be artistic or something like that. But when we're particularly used by God to as his conduit, He just downloads it to demonstrate his character and speak to mankind through us. That's powerful and that's beautiful.
Yes, yes.
You know, anybody can turn on the news and get bad news. that's what you usually get. But where does hope come from? And as Mark was talking about these gifts being given, the Apostle Paul says, what have you have that you have not been given? Right?
Right.
So, you know, why be prideful, which can easily well up? You know, look at what I have done. Boy, that went bad for Nebuchadnezzar, didn't it? look at all that I have created. Yeah. Oops, really?
Now you're eating grass and crawling around on your hands and feet.
Yeah. So we see the directions this psalm and this reflection can take us into the depths of Scripture as we're recalling so much subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3.
He goes on in verse 3 to say, mm-hmm. there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And that, to me, is reflective of Psalm 139, where David again says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Mm-hmm. You know, God is omnipresent. And and creation is omnipresent. Where are we going to flee from this reality, the firmament? You know, I'm not getting off this subway car called the firmament anytime soon. We're in it, so this beautiful, again, language. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Even when you're in, I was thinking earlier as we were discovering, or as we were discussing and discovering at the same time.
It's a little bit of both.
We use it together.
What is the thing in us that you see a scene or a setting, a beautiful fall landscape, and you say that that's beautiful. Yet I go to an inner city housing project or a garbage dump or and you say, boy, that's a mess. That's ugly. And what is it in us that distinguishes the difference between the two? Mm-hmm. That's a huge question. And, you know, I will point out that my little white dog, wherever he is, he doesn't do that. He's got a very small menu. The only thing that he thinks is beautiful is his food dish and mom, you know, which I agree about. A little tension, jealousy there going on. But again, the firmament is screaming at us, and there's no getting away from it. There is no speech nor language. And it's a universal language, too. We talked about how hallelujah is a universal word. The firmament speaks a universal language. And some people have pointed out how music is a universal language as well. And it goes out it's received. Everywhere.
I gotta tell you, you know, in our church we have a large contingent of Brazilian people church, and so their native language, I guess, is Portuguese, and so they're going to start a Portuguese service, I guess. They're having a meeting and basically have a Portuguese service for the Brazilians that come. But there's this one gentleman, basically I didn't know who he was. But I knew him because throughout worship service or whatever, I'd hear hallelujah, and it was a very distinctive voice and whatnot. And I remember, and I've been with the church for for a while now, and I never knew who he was. And in my mind's eye, I thought, well, man, he sounds like a Middle Eastern or maybe like an Indian descent or whatever, you know. And so in my mind's eye, I sort of got, you know, he wasn't necessarily a naturalized American because of his voice, but I knew his voice, and I was was like, somewhat enthusiastic about it, but I never knew who it was. And it was probably a week ago or 2 weeks ago, basically, that I was sitting in worship, where we normally do, and as I'm worshiping the Lord, I hear the voice, and it's right next to me, and I look over and I see the guy, and it was not the person I, it was not my mind's eye. I didn't realize, but even though his native language isn't American, he's Brazilian and whatnot, but he spoke that, and I knew his voice, and I rejoiced when I got to see him face to face. So I'd imagine that's a little bit the joy we'll have when we see the Lord face to face, because we've heard his voice, but we haven't seen who he is yet, and fully.
Oh, we talked a little bit about that, the Hallelujah thing, and we had a friend that went to Nepal, and she,
Yeah,
that
you were
she
saying
sent us
that.
that lovely tape of the people singing, and in their language, and then all of a sudden they're singing Hallelujah, and I was like, wow,
All together.
all around the
It's
world.
a beautiful word, and it does resonate in many different languages. Since we are part of creation, we're not just stuck in it, but we're part of it. We can't escape this its message, and there's no excuse. There's no excuse when you're struck by the firmament, which declares the glory of God, and the light bulb sort of goes off, which it does, whether you want to admit it or not, it does for everybody. The light bulb goes off, and you begin to wonder to yourself, boy, I wonder where all this came from. And the answer is, it came from a loving Father, a God who is reaching out to you and extending an invitation to you to come and fellowship,
I
which we're
think
going to
that's what
see.
verse 4 says to me.
Their line or sound has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
It's everywhere.
Oftentimes in these poetic psalms, verses are repeated, using a little different inflection or a little different shading or coloring to, again, to give a richer meaning. And indeed, the sound of creation, I think it was Sagan, was it? I think it
Carl
was
Sagan.
Carl Sagan that used to say that the fuzz on the television set, the little blips, were went back to creation, to the Big Bang. It's like
Outer space, the sounds from outer space or
I guess you
something.
can say anything you want to say,
Oh
but
my.
anyway, we all know where Carl Sagan stood. I wonder if
Let's
he ever read Psalm
Psalm
19.
19.
I'm sure he did. In them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. I love it. We're getting to my favorite part. He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. A tabernacle, ohel, is a masculine noun, is also translated home. To tabernacle in the verb form means to have fellowship.
Really?
And it implies, this verse implies, it's talking about the bridal chamber after, consummating the marriage, and speaks of a sort of intimacy that God is wooing us towards, So again, he uses the personification of the sun coming up. Is as a man coming out of the bridal out of the bridal chamber, and he goes on in the next verse, and he rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Of course he does. He's excited. He thinks he can conquer the world. He's just come out of the bridal chamber, and he's all jacked up. And this is this is the word picture that the psalm is giving us, of the sun coming up. And again, all of this is reflective of God's glory and his intent to, to be noticed, for us to notice him, for us to recognize him, to rattle our cage a little bit and to say, I'm here. I'm here and I love you. It's not just, I'm here, but I'm here and I love you and I'm caring for you. Mm-hmm. I have created a world, even though it's fallen, that is, I'm still sustaining on behalf of the elect and on behalf of my kids. These are important truths. Isaiah 62:5 says, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Mm-hmm. Look at the personal language here. Look at the intimate and the marriage motif that's being expressed here. Just the notion that should really sink in for each one of us, mm-hmm. that God rejoices over us. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says he dances over us. Mm-hmm. He sings over us. Mm-hmm. These are wonderful truths. What a departure from the idea of the Stoic God, right? The idea of the inapproachable, this angry. Is the God angry, right? This is the God of Islam who is so, omnipotent and so unapproachable that you have to do it just through a very finite lens of ritual. This is
Certainly the didn't like the mention of Islam. I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that.
Oh.
Barking.
One of the dogs again, no doubt. But what a contrary picture the Holy Scriptures give us. If we're willing to look deeper beyond some of the let's face it, God really is sovereign, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't be strong. Overly casual and lighthearted in our approach towards God. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he resists the proud, but gives mm-hmm. more grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. So when we come before God in pride and arrogance, there's a response. He's got a response for that too.
Sure.
But for
the most part, he loves us
indeed,
and he rejoices over us,
and it's not
and he cares for us.
Zeus casting lightning bolts down at us because we've messed up again, or we've transgressed his divine order, mm-hmm. which we have. Many times the light's not always perfect for our image bearing,
but
indeed there is such a glimpse, yes. of intimacy here, mm-hmm. and in verse 6 we're closing with, its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. And indeed, the psalm speaks of the heat. It spoke to me of the light, really. There's mm-hmm. nothing hidden from, Pastor Finn used to say, he used to say, people don't change because they see the light. They feel because they change because they feel the heat.
Yeah.
And that's, that's when the heat from the light starts to seep in. Yesterday, we're getting in that time of year where you don't know what to wear when you go out in the morning. It's 48 degrees when you get up in the morning. And yesterday, I thought it was maybe creeping higher than that. And I'm working with my flannel shirt, right, that I wore, put on in the morning. And I'm actually getting kind of steamy there under the collar. In the relationship between the light and the heat, it's significant, and it caused me to think in terms of John 3:21, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." And the l length of that passage is talking about men, doing their deeds in darkness,
Right.
because
That which is done in darkness will be exposed
yeah,
when it comes to light.
they know what they're doing is evil, because we typically do, right?
Sure.
We know when any kid knows when they're doing wrong.
Right.
Jesus is speaking of that in John 3. Let's,
21.
and he goes on further to say, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And finally, 21 says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." So here, the relationship, let me tell you, if not that I know this from experience, but you might be able to temporarily escape the light, but you won't escape the heat, you
No.
know. And especially, nobody's going to escape the heat of the last days in the final judgment. It's going to be, and we've been reading Revelation as part of our morning devotional, you know. And the other day, we were in the chapter where it talks about men will desire and crave death, and
Can't
they
find
can't find it,
it.
you know, because of the outpouring of wrath. But we also have here Ephesians 5:13 that says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." And so again, we think of that rejoicing son running his race like a strong man across the circuit of heaven, casting light over all the earth, and making manifest the deeds of men. We see how these themes are all interwoven in this beautifully poetic psalm, which the nature of the language really heightens, invigorates the message, so to speak.
I just want to end this with a psalm that's written in Isaiah 12.
Yes.
This has been resonating in my spirit for about a week and a half now,
Oh.
that God keeps bringing back this back to me, and it just says, "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw the water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the people. Make mention of his name, it is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in our midst." You know, the whole bottom line is that he's in our midst. He's with
Yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And though he may chastise us, or he may, give us a test, or allow a trial to come through, he's always going to come back and comfort us.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be there, and he's always going to bring the light of healing and the light of restoration.
And we don't have to cower in fear.
No.
I so appreciate that, because we're, that's ending on a positive word. Thank you for bringing that forth, and he is with us, and we don't have to hide in caves and call the rocks to hide us. We can and should lay our lives bare and open before him. That level of honesty and transparency is the very thing, you know, that God craves or desires to see in us. Mm-hmm. Not walking in self-justification or excuses for the things that we do, but just being honest and transparent before Him and repent, which leads to repentance.
Sure.
Remember, it's the kindness or the goodness of God. I think it's Romans 5 that leads us to repentance, and it's that kindness and goodness which is revealed to us, and much of it is revealed through creation. You know, so this is the richness of Psalm 19, and it proceeds. It takes a turn here and goes into talking about the majesty of God's law and His ordered universe. This is not. We don't live in chaos. Whether you wish to admit it or not, there is design. Mm-hmm. And it's not chaotic design. Otherwise, we would be flying off the planet or exploding or, you know, no telling what might happen.
Right.
So this is an ordered universe. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can rejoice like the strong man running his race across the circuit of heaven. Mm-hmm. We can rejoice in all of this. Mm-hmm. And again, I say rejoice, Paul says.
Amen. So,
right. Amen.
And yeah, it's just that makes, you know, the creation reveals the Lord to us, and it's up to us to make a response, you know,
to respond
to it. I'm like, oh my God, there is a God, and Psalm 19, who knew? I saw verse 7 goes right to the law, and I'm like, oh wow, that's the jailhouse apologetic right there, because I was always creation, and then, you know, the moral law as the evidence is for God, and David puts it right in the Psalm 19. I'm like, oh boy. So we're to respond to see the glory, and then, oh, the law of the Lord is perfect, as seven says.
Right.
We have to respond and come alongside and follow where the light would lead us, and enjoy the heat of that God's wrath. But yeah, wonderful poetry to show us that the God of all creation is with us, and He cares for us, and to come with Him and follow Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark, why don't you pray us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord God, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for another day in Your kingdom, Lord. Thank You for the majesty of the heavens above that declare Your glory. That declare there is a God. There is a God, and Your word, Your law is perfect because it reveals to us the truth about who You are, that You're more than just a creator, that You're a loving Father who cared so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to reveal Himself further and to offer us a bridge, a way to make it into Your good graces, Lord, and to be part of Your family, to be part of Your kingdom forever. And Lord, we thank You for the grace You've given us to reveal that to us. We pray for You to use Your Holy Spirit to anoint this teaching to go out and encourage other people to respond to the glory of heaven and to make themselves right with You by putting their faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray for You for Your Spirit to continue to work throughout the world today to get to anoint the pastors that would speak Your word, to encourage the body of Christ and to bring people into the kingdom, and to bless the worship teams that will raise raise their voices in song to give You glory.
Mm-hmm.
The fellowship where the love of the Lord will be on display, where people come alongside one another to support one another in our faith and help each other heal from all the problems they face. Lord, so we just thank You for the church that can happen in. And all the churches throughout the world, that Your universal language of hallelujah can be
said. Hallelujah.
And we can praise Your name today.
Yes.
So we pray for You to be with us this week as we move from October to November
Yes.
And we just pray for you to guide us in the way we should go. Well, we praise you and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Well, we
Mighty.
thank everyone for tuning in, whether you're listening to it or watching on YouTube. I want to thank the few people who added us on YouTube this week, as our numbers, broke 120 and or 320. We thank everyone for following the blog or the podcast or the YouTube channel or whatever. It
Yes,
encourages us
I agree.
to encourage you to that you found what you're looking for in Jesus, and
Amen.
His ways are his law is perfect, and his ways the way to follow. So we encourage everyone to continue walking in by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And from me, Arthur and Susanna and Tammy Lynn, we say God bless you all.
God bless.